Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Exodus and chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. It follows on from the crossing of the Red Sea, where God brought the people out of Egypt. So we join the people of Israel in the journey through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 16. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaint of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" They did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, that every man gather it according to everyone's need. One omer for each person. According to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one need any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it till morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not sink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name Manna. and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations. They may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. So the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron kept laid up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years till they came to the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. We trust God's blessing to rest on the reading of his holy word. Now we are continuing with these studies in the Lord's Prayer. I have come to the petition, give us this day our daily bread. We need guidance to pray. We need to know what we are to pray for and how we are to pray. And in this pattern prayer, Jesus explains to us. And he first of all shows us the order in which we are to pray, that we start off with God. We start off bringing to mind who he is, our Father in heaven. And then we pray for things that are to do primarily with God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We start with God. God is placed first. And then we come on to our needs. And so we have the first three petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, relating to God. But then we have these three petitions relating to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And these may be set out as, first of all, provision. Secondly, pardon. And thirdly, protection. And so the first petition that relates to us, so the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And it's significant that it's after we have said, your will be done, that we begin praying for ourselves and our needs. So first of all we say to God, your will be done, and then we consider ourselves and our needs. And you will notice it is all us, not me. Because this is given to Christians who are part of a family, part of the church. The idea of a Christian who is not part of the church is quite foreign to the Bible. We are part of the church. And of course, primarily, we are part of the local church. The universal church is only seen in local congregations. So this is all us. Now, when we come to our needs, there are two basic errors that people commit. First of all, there is the sort of super spiritual which says, well, I'm not going to talk about my needs at all. And then there is this materialistic position that says, well, I pray for superabundance. And you will see all over the place there are these churches and these groups that are saying, come to us and find the key to a prayer that will unlock God's superabundance for you. Some of the best-selling Christian books today are books that encourage people to pray for health, wealth, prosperity and fame. An extraordinary life. But our text explodes both. Our text is, give us this day our daily bread. And it is an incredibly down-to-earth text. Give us today our daily bread. Simple, direct, straightforward. It's almost so obvious that you hardly have to unpack it. Bread, of course, was the staple food in Palestine of the period. Every meal you had bread.
When I was at seminary, we had an Armenian, not an Armenian, an Armenian student. And he was most surprised, coming to England, that there wasn't bread on the table. In fact, he had to have bread on the table to eat. He couldn't, literally, he could not imagine a meal without bread. He simply couldn't. And it was the same in the first century in Israel. You just couldn't imagine a meal without bread. And the bread would be probably, certainly for the ordinary folk, it would be plain barley bread. Not anything fancy at all. And that was the daily bread. We're not asking for cake. We're not asking for bread other than the daily bread, but for daily bread. And secondly, we see this time and again in the parables. People were paid daily. The ordinary labourer was paid on a daily basis. So he would turn up to work and he would go home with a day's wages, a single denarii. He would be paid day by day for the work he had done. And that daily pay would buy the daily bread. So the idea of your provisions coming on a daily basis was ingrained in the ordinary people, the ordinary working folk of Palestine. And that is that's the sort of people that the gospel came to. The poor had the gospel preached to them. And most people were these people who relied on their daily bread and daily pay. They laboured for daily bread. But of course there's also a reference back to the chapter that we read in Exodus, where when Israel was coming out of Egypt and travelling through the desert, God provided every morning the manna. And if the manna was kept the following day, it was useless. God provided daily bread to his people travelling through the wilderness. And so there's a double reference, a reference first of all to the daily experience of the people at the time, but also to the experience of Israel on the way from exile. The imagery then is of the church as a people who are travelling from exile in Egypt to the promised land of God's glory, the new heavens and the new earth, the Jerusalem that is above. So the idea is the church as a pilgrim people, pilgrims through this barren land. And our daily needs are provided by God. Give us this day our daily bread. It's saying, in effect, I cannot provide for myself. You must provide, O God. Now, of course, the day labourer receives his daily bread when he has laboured, when he has done what he can do, if he has been hired in the morning. But nevertheless, that provision is not the result of natural forces, but it is seen as the provision that God has given. The Bible knows nothing of a world of natural law operating apart from God. It is God's world, and all things that come to pass according to his will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And so when we pray this, we pray first of all for provision for the body, for physical needs. And you will notice it is our daily bread. It is not for a superabundance. There's a lot of talk about trusting God for a miracle, and we should trust God, we must trust God. But what do we trust God for? God has not promised health, wealth and prosperity to his people in this age. In fact, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Go to our brothers and sisters in Egypt, who are suffering because of high prices, because of all the people who have been off work protesting. The people who have next to nothing, our brothers and sisters in the developing world who have next to nothing, and many have nothing. Is it because their faith is lacking? No. God has not promised a superabundance. And if he gives us more than we need, he gives it so that we can care for our neighbours. He gives it so we can use it to his glory and praise. We pray for enough, not for a superabundance. Book of Proverbs, we have a great example of a prayer for what we should have. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Agur, the son of Jacob, says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, our daily bread. Lest I be full and deny you, he refers to the temptation of riches, which is that men trust in them, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And there is the temptation of poverty, which is the temptation to steal, the temptation in the face of lack, to take that which is not ours. So he says, here are these two temptations. The temptation that comes with riches, which is to trust in them and not in God. And the temptation that comes in poverty, which is a temptation to break the law of God. And again, not to trust in God. Give me, O God, that which is allotted to me. Enough. And God provides for us by means. We are not literally Israel in the wilderness. Israel, because they were travelling through the wilderness, literally travelling, they could not raise crops. And because it was the wilderness, the Sinai desert, there was not enough there to feed them. And if they had eaten the animals they brought with them, of course they would have had no animals. So God provided miraculously because there was no natural provision. And once they came into Canaan, there was. And therefore the manna stopped. But what does God want? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 11, we see the ambition, if we may use the expression, that Paul wants the Thessalonian Christians to have. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, that is not to be busybodies, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those that are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Now, of course, the temptation that he's referring to is temptation some people had to say, well, Jesus is coming back soon, so we shall leave off work and spend all our time in contemplation and be supported by others. And Paul says, no. No, you mind your own business. Walk in your own calling, your vocation. Work with your own hands as we commanded you. In other words, the Christian is not to be a sponger on the side. Now, of course, this is not to say that a Christian man or woman who has been laid off or who has worked productive life and retired is a sponger. No, it's somebody who will not work, not somebody who cannot work, somebody who has retired after a productive life. It's those who are able to work but prefer to sponge off other people who are at this point condemned. But no, the Christian seeks to live a quiet life and to work in order to provide. But of course God must provide that. I mean, on the news Tonight, unemployment in Britain is round about 2.5 million. There are around about 2.5 million people who could work who are out of work, and many of them, the vast majority of them, are people who want to work, but there simply aren't the jobs for them. Those people are not to be blamed. It is the people who sit around and don't want to work who are to be blamed. But God provides by means. But then, as well as provision for our physical needs, we are praying for that which we cannot in any way provide for ourselves. We pray that God would provide for our souls. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then, verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." In other words, the bread that is sufficient, that is necessary for the soul, is Jesus. And we do receive Jesus through means. We read the Bible. We pray. We take the Lord's Supper. And all of those communicate blessings to us. They are means of grace. We gather together like this to hear the word, to offer up our prayers and our praises to Almighty God, and thus to receive a blessing. We are not here to give to God. We are here to receive from God. And even when we pray, when we are sending our petitions up to God, we are doing so to receive from God. Because in all things we receive from God if we are his people. So we are here to receive the blessings of Christ, to receive Christ himself. By faith we feed on him. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And of course Jesus is the word of God who came down to earth from heaven. Well, so how do we pray this? First of all, when we come and we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are confessing our utter dependence on God. Our total dependence. James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So we come first of all, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we are confessing, even by that, our total dependence on God for everything. And of course, it is the God who is our Father in heaven. Our Father who loves us and gave up the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be his children. We come to the loving Father, to the one who expresses his love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How will he not then with him also freely give us all things? So we have a confidence in the God on whom we depend, because he is our Father, and our Father will give to us that which we need. "Ask," says Jesus, Matthew 7, verse 7, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent?
If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We have confidence, you see, because we come to our Father. We have confidence the Lord will provide. But also we come saying, give us this day our daily bread, confessing that we are pilgrims through this land, that this world is not our ultimate home, that we are passing on, travelling on to a new heavens and a new earth, to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We are travelling through this land. Give us this day our daily bread, that feed us now and evermore. Pilgrims in the wilderness. And by the placing of this petition, after your will be done, we subordinate all our desires to God's. And we say, Lord, your will be done. Your will is best, whatever it may be. We don't try to change God's mind, but we seek for God to change ours, to be more conformed to his will. We have our plans and our desires, and many of them are good. The example that the brother of our Lord James gives is of a man, a businessman, who needs to go on a journey to do business. Well, that's good. He's a businessman. It's his calling to go and to do business and to buy and to sell. But James says to that man, say first, if the Lord wills, I will go about my lawful and godly business. Because finally God's will is over my will. We pray for our needs. What we actually need. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for me what I need. It may not be. And we all need to remember, particularly in our culture, which is all full of encouragements to have more than we need. The latest this, the latest that, the latest other thing. We need, all of us, to be reminded to be content with what it is God gives us. With our daily bread. Not to worry about things that we cannot change. Not to lust after that which we do not need. It is a great blessing if God gives us more than we need. But we ask for what we need. Paul writes to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, John the Baptist, speaking to the Roman soldiers, said, be content with your wages. Don't be looking to be rich, to be someone great. Not as the world counts greatness. After all, we've probably all heard the story of Mary Jones and her Bible. The little Welsh girl who wanted a Bible, saved up her money, walked barefoot over the mountains to Bala to buy a Bible, and when she got there, they'd all sold out. But Thomas Charles, minister she'd gone to, gave her a Bible. And her name has gone down in history.
But you know, she was never anything great in the world's eyes. All through life, she was a poor Welsh lady who the world gave very little concern to, but she was precious to the Lord. And there are many, many women just like her who we've never heard of, who are precious to the Lord. And you know, just because somebody wrote her story, we know that as she went on, she remained quite poor, but she gave what she could to the missionary society. She supported the chapel. She came to the Lord's house when she could, as often as she could. She prayed to the Lord, she read the scriptures, and she is one of many, many, many ordinary Christians whom the world will never celebrate, but of whom God says, to me, they are precious. They will be mine in the day when I make up my jewels, says the Lord. They are the ones, ordinary Christian people, who shall shine like stars in the firmament. They are the ones, crowned with glory, who will be the great ones in the new heavens and the new earth. For all that glory is Christ's glory. Give us this day our daily bread. For having him, having Christ, we should be content with what the Lord provides for us. For Christ is our great provision, our true and living bread. It's a simple petition, you see. Give us this day our daily bread. But a petition that is full of deep meaning. And will set us free from worry as we think, my Father provides all things. So what is my task? Not to worry about the future, but to go forward, trusting in him. Frees us from our inordinate desires, our lusts for those things that we do not need, and sets us free to be content with Christ and what he provides. To seek our daily bread for body and soul from God and him alone, that Christ may be all and in all to us, now and forever. Amen.